بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 35th session, reading from some of the commentaries related to العقيدة التحاوية بالإمام أبو جعفر أحمد بن محمد بن سلامة التحاوي رحمه الله. Before we look at the statements of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi rahimahullah that we're going to discuss this evening, we're going to quickly review some of the points that we covered last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 34. First question being, mention the 57th statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, which is numbered as 131 in the Arabic commentary of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, or 130 in the English translation. The 57th statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi. Hanif.
We don't declare that any Muslim is a kafir as long as he doesn't believe that his sin is halal.
Okay, there's one word missing here. Somebody going to help me? No. There's one word. I mean, the meaning is there, but I mean, there's a word missing. Tafadhal. Ahl al-Qibla? He said the Muslims. Ahl al-Qibla means the Muslims. Naam. What's the word that's missing there?
Believer.
And the word that the Imam uses, Ahl al-Qibla. Ahl al-Qibla means the Muslims. Naam. Okay, somebody else. Somebody else give us the statement. Naam.
ولا نكفر أحدا من أهل القبلة بذنب ما لم يستحل له.
طيب, what was missing from his...
بذنب.
يعني we don't declare anyone from the Ahl al-Qibla, يعني from the Muslims, we don't declare any of them to be a kafir based upon a sin that they committed. We don't declare them to be a kafir for what? يعني for a sin that they committed, as long as they didn't declare it to be lawful. As long as they didn't declare their sin to be lawful. Question number two, what does Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan mention as the first qualification of the sin which does not take a Muslim out of Islam? What is the first qualification of that sin? Naam, Zaki.
As long as sin is not an act of disbelief or idolatry.
Okay, as long as the sin that we're talking about here, that we don't declare a person to be a Muslim due to it, as long as that sin is not kufr, as long as it's not kufr, as long as it's not shirk, which takes a person out of Islam.
As long as he does not declare that sin.
No. That's what Imam Tahawi said. But what we're talking about here is, what is the qualification of the sin? The qualification of the sin. That we would not declare a person to be a Muslim due to that sin, as long as that sin is not kufr or shirk that takes a person out of Islam. If it is kufr or shirk that takes a person out of Islam, it doesn't matter if he declares it lawful or not. Imam Tahawi's statement, as long as he doesn't declare it to be lawful, is not applicable to kufr or shirk. A person commits an act of kufr or shirk, it doesn't matter. He says it's lawful or unlawful. That's not applicable here. It has no meaning whatsoever. Person commits an act of kufr or shirk, khalas, he goes out of Islam. Whether he says it's lawful or not lawful, doesn't matter. Okay, that should be clear, that what we're talking about here is a sin that a person commits. We would not declare that person to be a kafir due to that sin. Regular sins, as long as he doesn't say it's lawful. But if it's kufr or shirk, khalas, it doesn't matter. He says it's lawful or not lawful. I hope that's clear, that's very important. Taib. Question number three, what does Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan say is our aqeedah concerning the Muslim whose sin does not take him out of Islam? What is our aqeedah concerning that Muslim? Naam.
بل نعتقد أنه مؤمن ولكن ناقص الإيمان وهو تحت مشيئة الله ووعيد الله. هذه عقيدة المسلم.
So our aqeedah is what? That we don't declare him to be a kafir, but we say that he is a mu'min. ناقص الإيمان. He's a mu'min, but his iman is defective. And he is subject to the threat of Allah's punishment for the sin that he committed. And he is yani, going to be subjected, if he didn't repent from it, to the will of Allah. If Allah wills, he will punish him. If he wills, he will not punish him. Yani, forgive him, pardon him. Now, طيب. Are there sins? And somebody reminded us of this question last week that we failed to read the sentence where this state, where this question came from. So I don't know if anybody went back and checked it, because during our after session we did point out the statement of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan that is related to this question. So the question is, are there sins other than shirk and kufr, other than shirk and kufr, which do not, which do take a Muslim out of Islam? And if yes, give an example. Are there sins other than shirk and kufr which do take a person out of Islam? And give an example. Naam. Adam.
Declaring something that's haram halal.
Okay, declaring something that's haram halal. Okay. So the first part of the question, are there sins other than shirk and kufr? And the answer is?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, that's the first part of the question.
Did I say no?
No, I don't know if you said anything. You just said that there's taking halal and haram. Now, that's an example now. But the first part of the question is, are there sins other than kufr and shirk? Because first of all, we said we don't take a person out of Islam. We don't declare a person to be a kafir by a sin they committed, as long as they don't make it halal, as long as they don't say that it's lawful. Then we said that there's a condition, a qualification for that, that the sin is not kufr or shirk. Well, what if it's not kufr or shirk? Then are there sins that do take a person out of Islam? Other than kufr and shirk? Yes. And then he gave an example of making something lawful, haram, haram, lawful. What is the example the Sheikh gave though? Naam, Abdul Wali.
What is that in the dreaming?
No. Not in this paragraph. In this paragraph, naam. Yeah, that is an example, but that's not the example the Sheikh gave. Naam? I didn't understand what you said. That's not what the Sheikh said. We're looking for the statement of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan in his explanation, Sharif.
Someone who abandons
Salat. The Sheikh said this statement, that we don't declare a person to be a kafir, as long as they don't say it's halal, this statement is not ala itlaqi, and it's not something absolute. Rather, there are some things that take a person out of Islam. And from amongst them, he said, the person who abandons Salat. Does anybody know his exact wording in this statement, what he said? Yeah, Fadl. Fine, that's true, he did say that, but there's one word missing from what you just read, that the Sheikh said. Now, very important word, Naam. And the point here, the reason why I'm making, trying to be a little more meticulous in these answers, because these are matters of aqidah, and some of these matters are so critical that if you misunderstand it, you're off. You're not on the right track. And we want to make sure that if the Sheikh uses certain language, he's very meticulous in the language that he used. There's a reason for that. Okay, so there's a word here that I want to hear in the answer.
Deliberately,
intentionally. Amdan, muta'ammidan. He said, muta'ammidan. Person who abandons salat, muta'ammidan. What if a person abandons salat by forgetfulness or something, or oversleeping or something? They didn't abandon salat, muta'ammidan. Muta'ammidan means that a person intentionally, willfully, knowingly says, I'm not going to pray. That's a very important word, muta'ammidan. Okay, please try to be meticulous. And when you give when I ask what did the Sheikh say, I want to know his exact words that he said. Okay, otherwise, the answers that you're given are not wrong, but sometimes if there's a word missing, then it really makes a difference in our understanding of what's being said here. So I don't really want to take too much time for the answers here, because we have a little bit of time for the class. Tayyib, question number 5. Mention the 58th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, which is numbered as 132 in the Arabic. Explanation of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, the 58th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. Naam, Ahmed.
وَلَا نَقُولُ لَا يَضُرُّ مَعَ الْإِيمَانِ ذَنْبٌ لِمَنْ عَمِلَهُ.
Okay, somebody tell me, what does that mean? What is that statement of Imam al-Tahawi? He just gave us the exact words of Imam al-Tahawi. What does it mean? What does he say? Naam, Shanawaz.
We do not say that sins do not harm the faith of those who
commit. We do not say that sins?
Do not harm the faith,
the iman. Good, good. The faith, the iman. And we do not say, this is not our aqidah, we do not say, as some people say, that sins do not harm the iman of the person who commits them. Some people said that. Sins do not harm the iman. In other words, actions are not part of iman, so it doesn't matter. A person commits sins, whatever they commit, doesn't harm their iman. We don't say that. That's not our view. Question number 6. Who is being refuted in this statement of Imam al-Tahawi? And what does Sheikh Saleh Fawzan say is their aqidah, the people who are being refuted here, concerning the sinner. Who is being refuted? And what does Sheikh Saleh Fawzan say is the aqidah of those people? Naam, Abdul Wali. The Murji'a. The Murji'a are being refuted here. And what is their aqidah?
They say as long as someone affirms iman in his heart that he is a believer of complete iman, then his deeds are insignificant.
Naam. And they say as long as a person is musaddiq, and he testifies to the truth in the heart, as long as he testifies the truth in his heart, then he is a believer whose iman is complete and perfect. Kamil al-iman. And his deeds really are insignificant. They're not really important. Deeds, because in their belief, actions are not part of iman. And the Shaykh wanted to give some examples. Like even they said, person didn't pray, didn't fast, didn't give charity, did whatever, hajj. And it doesn't matter. They didn't do any acts of ta'ah, of obedience to Allah, it doesn't matter. Because why? Because actions are not part of iman. As long as he has iman in his heart, then by that alone, he's good to go. Question number seven. Mention the first part of the 59th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. There are two parts to the statement. The Shaykh has divided them into point number 133 and 1, and the second part, point number 134. So what is the first part of the 59th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi? Naam.
وَنَرْجُو لِلْمُحْسِنِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنْ يَعْفُوَ عَنْهُمْ وَيَدْخُلَهُمْ الْجَنَّةِ
ويدخل
الجنة.
نعم.
برحمتي.
نعم. What's the next part? Part of this first part of the statement. نعم. أحمد.
ولا نأمن عليهم ولا نشهد عليهم بالجنة.
Stop right there. That's the next part. The Sheikh explains that separately. Okay. So what is he saying here in this part? What is he saying? Al-Imam Tahawi is saying what? نعم. فضل.
We hope that the Muhsinin is the people of Ihsan from the Muslims.
From Allah, the believers, he said, mu'mineen.
Allah pardons them and enters them into Jannah.
Now, we hope that the muhsineen, the people who are doers of good from amongst the mu'mineen, we hope that, yani Allah subhanahu, we have hope that Allah is going to pardon them. Allah is going to pardon their sins and He's going to admit them into Jannah, and we also?
We don't
feel that they are safe and secure from Allah's punishment for their sins. And we hope that Allah is going to pardon them, but we don't have no security, safety, guarantee that Allah is going to pardon them. And also we what?
We don't testify that they're in Jannah.
And we don't testify that they will be in Jannah. And that's for the whole, the muhsineen, min al-mu'mineen. Question number 8. Summarize our aqidah concerning bearing witness to someone being in Jannah or Nar, specifically and generally. What is our aqidah? Aqidah of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Naam, in the back. Fadl.
Specifically, we say, however, the practice of the Sunday testimony that someone is amongst the dwellers of Jannah, then we attest to that. And if the practice of the Sunday testimony to someone is in the fire, we attest to that.
Okay, I didn't hear the first part of your reading. What did you say, the first part of your answer?
If the practice of the Sunday.
Before that. Did you say anything before that? Even before, however.
Okay, we do not testify that anyone is either in Jannah or the fire without evidence.
Without evidence. We don't testify that any individual person is in the paradise or the hellfire without evidence. Then, however. Okay, the first part of the statement is the foundation. We don't testify that any individual is in paradise or hellfire without evidence. What evidence? If the Prophet ﷺ testifies for somebody that person is from the people of paradise, then we testify. And if he testifies that somebody is from the people of hellfire, then we testify that they are from the people of the hellfire. And this is in reference to specific individuals. We don't say that any particular specific individual unless the Prophet ﷺ has made that known to us by revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, in the end of his answer he said, now?
Generally.
Mm-hmm.
The mu'mineen are generally in Jannah, and kuffar and.
Now, from the general perspective, generally speaking, we say that the believers are in the paradise and the disbelievers are in the hellfire. But specifically, we don't say for anybody, they're in the paradise or hellfire except by the testimony of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mention the second part of the 59th statement, numbered as 134 in Sheikh Saleh Fawzan's explanation. The second part of the 59th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. Second part. Dawood. Yes, Dawood, Abdul Sabur. My memory is working today.
We ask forgiveness for sinful Muslims and fear for them, but do not hope for them. But do not lose hope.
Thank you. Lose hope. Now, and the Imam, in the end of the class last week, corrected that statement that I made. It should be translated as, instead of lose hope for them, we don't cause them to lose hope. Okay, what's the difference? Lose hope means we don't have hope for them. But actually the word that he used here means that we will not be the cause of people losing hope. So the sinners, the Shaykh says here what? Al-Imam Tawi says, we seek forgiveness for the sinners, amongst the Muslims. And we fear for them, meaning we fear Allah's punishment for their sins. But we don't say or do anything that will cause them to lose hope of Allah's mercy. To lose hope of Allah's mercy and His pardon and His forgiveness. Question number 10. Why is it from our aqidah that we seek forgiveness for the sinner and do not give up hope? Do not cause them to give up hope for the mercy of Allah for him. Naam. Fadlo.
Seek forgiveness for the sinner and make dua for him because he is our brother and it's our right. Allah ordered the Prophet ﷺ to seek forgiveness for himself and the Muslim.
Okay, say that. Say, give your answer one more time and just kind of be careful what you're saying.
We seek forgiveness for the Muslim sinner, and make dua for him because he is our brother and it's our right.
And it's our right? حق الإيمان علينا. It's our right? No, it is the right. It's an obligation upon us from Iman. It's an obligation upon us, due to Iman. It's his right as being a mu'min. وَهَذَا حَقُّ الْإِيمَانِ عَلَيْنَا For the mu'min. Then that's their right from Iman. That's their right from Iman that we seek forgiveness for them. And then you mentioned the ayah from the Quran 47:19 where the Prophet ﷺ was ordered to seek forgiveness for himself and for the believing men and the believing women. Jazakum Allah khair wa barakallahu feekum. MashaAllah. So that's what we covered last week. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Musta'an. Tayyib. We're going to do the best that we can. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at the 60th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. And the 60th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi is explained in two parts by Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, which he has numbered as 135 and 136 on English, 134 and 135. So this statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi, وَالْأَمْنُ وَالْإِيَاسُ يَنْقُلَانِ عَنْ مِلَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ. That's the first part of the statement that Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan explains in detail. And the second part of the statement is وَالسَّبِيلُ الْحَقِّ بَيْنَهُمَا لِأَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ. And the way of truth for the people of the Qibla, for the Muslims, is between those two things. Al-amnu wal-iyas. Feeling safe and secure. A person feels that they are secure from Allah's punishment. They're not worried about it. Or al-iyas, that a person is in despair. They have given up hope at all of Allah's mercy. These two things, a person feeling that they are secure, they don't have to worry about the punishment of Allah. Or a person feeling that there's no hope for them, for Allah's mercy, or His favor, or His bounty. These two things take a person out of Islam. The second part of the statement is, the way of truth, for the people of the Qibla, for the Muslims, is between these two things. That a person is between fear and hope. That they don't feel secure. They have fear of Allah's punishment. And they're not hopeless. They have hope of Allah's mercy and His bounty. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says in the explanation of the first part of the statement that al-amnu, feeling secure, and iyas, losing all hope, being in despair, takes a person out of the circle of Islam. He says, min usul al-aqidah al-islamiyah, al-khawf wal-raja. And if that is from the foundations, the fundamentals of the Islamic Aqidah. Min usul. Yani from the foundation. That means that what? This is not a secondary matter. This is from the foundations, fundamentals of our Aqidah. That is, al-khawf, fear, and al-rajah, hope. Having fear of Allah's punishment and having hope of His any mercy and His reward. وَهُمَا مِنْ أَعْظَمْ أُصُولَ الْعَقِيدَةِ And they're from the most important of the fundamentals of our Aqidah. They're not just fundamentals, but they're from the most important of the fundamentals. Here the Shaykh is bringing to our attention the importance of these matters. This is not a small matter. This is something that we need to know and understand properly. That a Muslim is between hope and fear. It's between hope and fear. Then he said it is of necessity that these two be combined. That they be combined. And it is not sufficient that a person suffice with one of them only, without the other. And this is as Allah the Most High said in describing His prophets. This is how Allah described the prophets, that they had these two qualities, these two characteristics. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ That they, and he after mentioning many of the prophets, he said, that they were those who used to hasten in the doing of good deeds. وَيَدَعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَحَبًا And they used to supplicate to us with hope and with fear. Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, 90th Ayat. رَغَبًا, he said, this means الرَّجَاءَ, person having hope. وَرَحَبًا, this means خَوْف, a person having fear of the punishment of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 57th Ayat, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدَعُونَ يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمَ الْوَسِيلَةِ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ Yani those that they are calling upon, yani they're calling upon angels, they're calling upon prophets, calling upon Isa ibn Maryam, whoever they're calling upon, those who they are calling upon are themselves seeking al-wasila, a means of nearness to their Rabb. The ones they are calling on, they are seeking nearness to Allah. They are seeking means of nearness to their Rabb. Which one of them will be nearest? وَيَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابَهُ إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ كَانَ مَحْذُورًا They are yani hoping for His rahmah and they are fearing His punishment. Indeed, the punishment of your Rabb is mahdura. Yani it is something to be cautioned from, yani to be feared. So they are combining between al-khawf wal-raja'. Yani they are combining these two qualities, both of them must be present. Fearing Allah's punishment and hoping for His mercy and hoping for His bounty and His favor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Az-Zumar, 39th Surah, 9th Ayah, أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ أَنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةَ وَيَرْجُو رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ Yani, is he who is devout, yani obedient to Allah during the night, throughout the night, prostrating and standing in prayer and fearing the hereafter and hoping for the rahmah of his Rabb. Is he like the one who doesn't do that? Yani, are they the same? Are they equal? The point in this ayat is what? That they are fearing the akhirah. And they are hoping for the rahmah of their Rabb. They fear Allah's punishment. And they hope for his rahmah. Then the Shaykh says, لَبُدَّ مَعَهُمَا مِنَ الْمَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ And there must be, along with hope and fear, there must be love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these three qualities are the foundations of the relationship between the Abd and our Rabb. That a person has love for Allah, they have fear of His punishment, and they hope for His reward and His yani bounty and favor. There must be with these two, mahabba. So these three are necessary. Al-mahabba lillahi wal-khawf minhu subhanahu wa ta'ala wal-raja' li-fadlihi. That a person has love for Allah. And that they fear him, yani fear his punishment. And that they have hope of his favor and his bounty. Then the Shaykh mentions three categories of people who deviated, who didn't combine these qualities together. Any one of these qualities separately is deviation and destruction. What are the three qualities? Love, fear, and hope. So the Shaykh says, the first group of people, whoever limited themselves to al-mahabba alone, then this one is a Sufi. Because the Sufis, they worship Allah Azza wa Jalla according to them, they claim by love alone, and they don't have fear, and they don't have hope. They don't fear Allah's punishment. They don't hope for His reward. One of them says, أَنَا لَا أَعْبُدُهُ طَمَعًا فِي جَنَّتِهِ وَلَا خَوْفًا مِنْ نَارِهِ إِنَّمَا أَعْبُدُهُ لِلْمَحَبَّ فَقَطْ. Yani, this is their idea, this is their aqidah, this is their belief, that they claim that I worship Him, I do not worship Him desiring His Jannah, and I am not out of fear of His fire. Rather, indeed, the reason why I worship Him is for love of Allah alone. Shaykh said, this is dalal wa iyadu billah. This is clear, pure misguidance, and we seek refuge in Allah from that. The second group of people, he said, whoever worships Allah with fear alone, then he is from the Khawarij. And that's because the Khawarij, they took only one side of the matter, that is fear. And the wa'id, the threat of Allah's punishment, only. They didn't look at Allah's mercy or His bounty or His favor, His pardon, His forgiveness. They just looked at one side, fearing Allah's punishment and the threat of Allah's punishment. Totally lopsided. As a result of that, they declared people who commit sins destroyed. They declared them to be kafirs. The third group, he said, whoever worships Allah with hope only, and without love and fear, with hope only, فَهُوَ مِنَ الْمُرْجِيَةِ, then he is from the Murjiyah. Those who took only the side of hope. All they saw is the ayats or the hadith or the evidences that give a person hope of Allah's mercy, hope of His pardon, hope of His forgiveness. That's all they could see, and as a result of that, they abandoned the side of fear, any fear of Allah's punishment. There has to be fear of Allah's punishment. Allah threatened to punish people who commit sins. A person has to have fear of this. Now what if He doesn't pardon me? What if He doesn't forgive me? You don't have fear? A person who doesn't have fear, then you have Allah's punishment, they have gone astray as well. As far as the people of Tawheed, so the people of Tawheed worship Allah with all three of these things, with love and fear and hope. Then he says, but, keeping in mind, yes, with these three things, but, this fear that the people of Tawheed have, لَا يَكُونُ مَاهُ قُنُوت, it shouldn't be so much fear that a person is in despair, that they give up hope. Because of the magnitude of their fear of Allah's punishment, they gave up hope. They said, I'm done. Like a brother told me one time, I committed so many sins, I've done so much evil. This is literally, this is how he said it. That I have no hope. Like, I know I'm going to hell. Of course, out of ignorance. And he didn't have any understanding. But he was such an evil person who had did so much wrong that he felt like, there ain't no hope for me. Like, I ain't even going to make believe that I got a chance. I know I'm doomed. This is the problem. This fear of Allah's punishment should not be to such an extent that a person is in despair, that they gave up hope. Because if the fear leads to despair from the rahmah of Allah, he doesn't have hope in the rahmah of Allah, he became a kafir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yusuf, 12th Surah, 87th Ayat, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرُونَ. That indeed nobody gives up hope of the mercy of Allah except the disbelievers. And a person gave up hope of Allah, it's been they fall into kufr. And Al-Khalil, yani Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, وَمَنْ يَقْنَتُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الظَّالُونَ. Yani that no, who yani is in despair, gives up hope of the rahmah of his Rabb, except the person, those people who are totally lost and astray. In Surah Al-Hijr, 15th Surah, 56th Ayah. Shaykh goes on to say, وَكَذَلِكَ الرَّجَاءَ لَا يَكُونُ رَجَاءَ مَا الْأَمْنِ مِنْ مَقْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَدَمِ الْخَوْفِ. So likewise, the hope that we have shouldn't, yani, be with, this hope shouldn't be with الْأَمْنِ مِنْ مَقْرِ اللَّهِ, that a person feels safe and secure from the plan of Allah. And he's safe and secure from the punishment of Allah, from the power of Allah and His ability to punish whoever He wills, whenever He wills. A person shouldn't feel secure. Yani this hope in Allah's, yani His favor, His bounty and His mercy shouldn't be to such an extent that a person loses any fear, feels secure from the plan of Allah and doesn't have any fear of Allah's punishment. Because this is the madhab of the Murji'ah, and it is a madhab that is astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf 7, 1, 7, 7th surah, 99th ayah. أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَأْمَنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمِ الْخَاسِرُونَ. يعني do they feel safe and secure from the plan of Allah? يعني from His punishment, from His power to destroy and to punish those who disobey Him. Do they feel safe from the punishment of Allah? No one feels safe from the plan of Allah, from His punishment and His power, except the people who are khasirun, the losers. So hope by itself is kufr. And fear without hope, without some hope, fear of Allah's punishment, but with some hope that Allah might forgive and pardon and overlook. Fear without hope is also kufr. And for this reason, the musannif, yani the author, Al-Imam al-Tahawi said, يَنْقُلَانِ أَلْمِلَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ, that either of these things, hope alone by itself, without fear of Allah's punishment, or fear of Allah's punishment, to the extent that there's no hope, that a person is in despair, that both of these things take a person out of Islam. So the correct path is between these two, that a person has hope of Allah's pardon and forgiveness and favor, and fear of His punishment. For this reason, some of the Salaf said, or one of the Salaf said, يَجِبُ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ أَنْ يَكُونُ بَيْنَ الْخَوْفُ وَالرَّجَاءِ يَعْنِي يُصَوِّي بَيْنَهُمَا. يعني it is obligatory that a person must be between fear and hope, that is, making them equal, balanced between them. كَجَنَاحَيْ الطَّائِرِ, like the two wings of a bird. The two wings of a bird are مُعْتَدِلَانِ, يعني they are evenly balanced. If one of them became defective, the bird would fall out of the sky. And likewise, the abd, the worshipper of Allah, the human being, must be between fear and hope, like the two wings of a bird. And some of the Salaf said, and the third, the love, is like the head of the bird. If the head is removed, khalas, the bird is dead. So a person must have love, first and foremost. That's the foundation. And then they must have, yani, the balance between hope and fear. Naam. Huh? Jazakallah khair. Allahumma musta'an. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Okay, the Shaykh says in the second part of this 60th statement, and the way of the truth is between these two for the people of the Qibla, the Muslims. Ah, and al-haq baynahuma, he said the truth is between the two of these, meaning between fear and hope. The Ahl al-Qibla, yani the Ahl al-Qibla means the Muslimin. And they are called Ahl al-Qibla because they pray to the Kaaba. Because they pray towards the Kaaba. As far as the one who doesn't pray towards the Kaaba, then he is not one of the Muslims. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded that we face the Kaaba. So it is obligatory to follow His commands, subhanahu. When He abrogated facing Bayt al-Maqdis in Jerusalem, when He abrogated that, then it's incumbent upon the people to comply, yani to follow the command of Allah. So the believer, yani, moves about or shifts or changes directions in accordance with the commands of Allah. And if Allah gives us a command, then we follow it, even if it came different than the last one. If Allah abrogates something, then we accept it. The believer moves, yani, with the commands of Allah. And that's because he is an abd of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 143rd ayah, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا. And we didn't make the Qibla, the direction that you used to pray in, we didn't make that, yani, to be what it was, إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولُ مِمَّنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ. Except, yani, to make known, yani, Allah did that as a test, to make known those who would follow the Messenger, to distinguish them from those who would turn back, yani, when the Qibla was changed. Some people abandoned Islam. The second statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, Allahu musta'an, is the 61st statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, وَلَا يَخْرُجْ الْعَبْدُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ إِلَّا بِجُهُودِ مَا أَدْخَلَهُ فِيهِ. Yani that nothing takes the abd, the worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of iman, except by outright rejection, yani denial, disavowal of that which was the cause of him entering into iman. Yani nothing causes a person to be out of iman, to become a kafir, except by disavowal, Yani rejection, negation, denial of what brought him into Iman, except what brought him into Islam. This particular statement has a lot of commentary, and because of the time, we probably won't be able to finish it tonight. I don't know what we're going to do. But in any case, the Shaykh has, his commentary is relatively reasonable. We can finish it, inshallah. At least the initial commentary. Shaykh Salih Fawzan says, هَذَا الْكَلَامْ فِيهِ مُؤَاخَذَ, yani that this statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi has some, yani, it's objectionable. Yani it's something that's questionable. It's something to be, yani to be criticized. There's some criticism for it. هَذَا الْكَلَامْ فِيهِ مُؤَاخَذَ. Nothing takes a person out of Iman except the denial, the rejection of what caused him to enter Iman. That's the statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. Shaykh says, this statement is objectionable. لِأَنَّ قَصْرُ الْقُفْرُ عَلَى الْجُهُودِ مَذْهَبَ الْمُرْجِئَةِ وَنَوَاكَ الْإِسْلَامِ كَثِيرًا. Why is it objectionable? Because limiting kufr only to a person's denial of what caused them to enter Islam, which is the shahadatain, and a person entered Islam by bearing witness and nothing deserves his worship except Allah, Muhammad and the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To say that nothing will take a person out of Islam, out of Iman, except denial of that, the Shaykh says that this is the madhab of the Murji'ah. In other words, the Murji'ah, they believe what? That actions are not a part of Iman. So it doesn't matter. Do whatever you want to do. It doesn't take you out of Islam. This is the madhab of the Murji'ah. وَنَوَاكَ الْإِسْلَامْ كَثِيرًا. And the truth of the matter is, the things that nullify Islam are many. Are many. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, in one of his books, he said that if the nawaqid of wudu are 8, then know with certainty that the nawaqid of Islam are more than 400. The nawaqid of Islam are many. And he mentions the most important of them, and the most frequently and the most dangerous of them in his book, Nawaqid of Islam, 10. That's not all of them, that's just the ones that are the most dangerous and the most frequently fallen into. And Shaykh Abdul Razak, in his explanation of Nawaqid al-Islam, says a statement, I won't read it because of the sake of time, but the meaning of it is that even these 10, we could even limit it to 3, that all of the Nawaqid al-Islam go back to 3 things. That is, whatever negates Islam from aqidah, false beliefs, or whatever negates Islam from speech, statements, or whatever negates Islam from actions. Everything goes back to that. And it's either some speech, or some action, or some any belief.
I think he mentioned doubt as well.
And he mentioned doubt. No. And the person has doubt. And from the Nawaqid of Islam that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah mentions, is that a person doubts the kufr of the disbelievers. He doubts it. He's not sure they're really kafirs or not. Even though Allah said they're kafirs. No. So, Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he says that why are we criticizing this statement? Because limiting kufr only to denying, yani what a person entered Islam upon is the madhab of the Murji'ah, and the reality is that the things that nullify Islam are many. From amongst them is al-juhud, denial. Person denying, yani the basis of Islam. That's one of the things that cause a person to go out of Islam. And from amongst them is al-shirk billahi azza wa jalla. That a person commits shirk. Yani offering worship to other than Allah and other than that. And from amongst the things that cause a person to go out of Islam is ihtihza bid-deen aw bi shay'in minhu. That a person, yani, makes mockery of the deen or any part of the deen. Person makes mockery of it. This is not denial. It has nothing to do with denial. And this takes a person out of Islam. Even if they didn't deny anything of Islam. Even if they didn't deny the shahadatain. Person makes mockery of the deen or any aspect of it. Makes mockery of women who wear niqab. Or makes mockery of a man who wears a short thobe. Or makes mockery of a person having a beard. This is kufr. It takes a person out of Islam. And the nawaqid of Islam are many, he said. And the scholars and the experts in fiqh, the fuqaha, they have mentioned them in the chapters related to apostasy or riddah. And from amongst the things that cause a person to go out of Islam without any denial is declaring lawful what Allah made haram, or declaring forbidden what Allah made lawful. And Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, mentions 10 of them. He mentions 10 of them in his book, Nawaqid of Islam. And it's a small book. There's maybe just a couple of pages in its original form, without any explanations or anything. A couple of pages, maybe 2 or 3 pages. He mentions 10 of them. وَهِيَ أَحَمُّهَا Shaykh is saying, these are just the most important of them. This is not all of them. وَإِلَّا فَالنَّوَاقِدْ كَثِيرًا Otherwise, for sure, the things that nullify Islam are many. So limiting the things that nullify Islam to just denial of what a person entered Islam upon, this is a mistake. And some of the writers, yani, who today, who claim to be, yani, who pretend to be learned people, are trying to, yani, يُحَاوِلُونَ إِفْهَارَ هَذَا الْمَذْهَبِ Yani, they're trying to support this madhab, that nothing takes a person out of Islam unless they deny, yani, their shahadatain. Some people are trying to support this idea so that the people, yani, will become, yani, free in the deen, yani, so that they can do whatever they want to do. So they can do whatever they want to do. As long as that person doesn't deny what caused them to enter Islam, فَهُوَ عِنْدَهُمْ مُسْلَمْ Then he's a Muslim. If he prostrates to an idol, and he says, I'm not denying anything, I acknowledge Tawheed. But he's prostrating the idols. To them, this is just a sin, that he prostrates to the idols. Because he didn't deny, so it doesn't take him out of Islam. It's just a sin. Or he sacrificed to other than Allah, sacrificed an animal to other than Allah. Or he insults or curses Allah, curses the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or curses the deen. They said, this person, he is a Muslim because he didn't deny. He didn't reject that which is the foundation of entry into Islam. And this is a big mistake. And this will cause the deen to be lost in totality and nothing will remain of the deen. So what is obligatory is that a person beware and take every precaution from this great danger. And this idea that nothing causes a person to go out of Islam except any denial. So, there's some very important commentary here that I wanted to read it from Ar-Riyad and Nadiya, and which are some of the commentaries of the scholars concerning the Aqidah Tahawiyyah. There's some very important commentary, but because of the time, it's too much. We can take 10 minutes, right? We have 20 minutes for that then, right? Quickly. We can take 15? Yeah, leave some time, a little bit. Yeah, leave a little bit of time. Okay, quickly. Yani, Allah musta'an. So, just quickly, the Shari, that is, Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Aziz, he says on this topic, yani, of hope and fear, he said it is obligatory that the abd be khaifan rajiyan. Be in a state of fear and hope. Indeed, the fear which is praiseworthy and which is truthful is that which prevents the person, yani, which shields the person from that which Allah has made haram. And it's the fear that prevents the person from engaging in that which is made haram. This is the fear that a person should have. If it goes beyond that, then we fear that he will be in despair and lose hope. And there should be enough fear to prevent a person from committing the haram. And the hope that's praiseworthy is either one of two things. The hope of a man who does an act of obedience to Allah in accordance with what Allah has legislated. Yani ala nur min Allah. So he is hopeful of Allah's reward. That's real hope. Or the man who committed a sin and he repented from it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he's hopeful of Allah's forgiveness. As for a person who's totally engrossed in violating the laws of Allah and in sin, and then he has hope of the mercy of Allah, and without doing anything to gain the mercy of Allah, he said this is a person who is in deception, who has deceived himself, and who's just wishing and hoping. And this is false hope. False hope. A person is engaged in every kind of sin, doesn't do anything, seeking Allah's forgiveness and repentance, and he has hope. Now this is not real hope. The second commentary, and it will just suffice with this, Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Ibaz, rahimahullah, says, that limiting, and this limiting of the things that take a person out of Islam to just outright denial of what a person entered Islam upon, he said, هذا الحصر فيه النظر. And this is something that can be, needs to be examined, has to be looked at. It's questionable. For indeed, the kafir enters Islam by the shahadatain. إذا يعني إذا كان لم ينطق بهما. The kafir who never entered Islam, and he enters Islam by the shahadatain. وإن كان ينطق بهما دخل الإسلام بالتوبة مما أوجب كفره. But if he's a person who was forced out of Islam, who went out of Islam due to some sin that caused a person to go out of Islam, then he, yani, he already pronounced the Shahada, he re-enters Islam by tawbah, by repenting from what he did. Some of the scholars said, and if he, and he didn't give zakat, then he gives the zakat. Yani, if he did, and he denied something that's a part of Islam, and he, yani, does it, then this is his re-entry into Islam. As far as the salat, there's some difference of opinion, so I'll leave that for now. فَمْ كَانَ يَنْتَقُ بِهَمَا دَخَلَ الْإِسْلَامِ بِالتَّوْبَةِ Yani a person who was already a Muslim, but he did something that caused the person to leave Islam, then he enters Islam by tawbah, by repentance from what he did, and the repentance is to do what he's supposed to do. Then the Shaykh says that قَدْ يَخْرُجْ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ بِغَيْرِ جُهُودِ That a person may go out of Islam by other than just outright denial of what he entered Islam upon. And the causes of a person going out of Islam are many, which have been made clear by the people of knowledge in the chapters related to the apostate. And from that is that a person, yani, criticized Islam, yani, as being defective. Or, yani, criticized the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or made mockery of Allah and His Messenger and His Book, or His Book. Or anything from what Allah has legislated. A person who makes a mockery of that. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah 65 and 66 ayah, قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَحْزِيُونَ Yani, was it in Allah and His Messenger, and the ayahs of Allah and His Messenger, that you were making mockery? Was it of Allah and His ayahs and His Messenger you were making mockery? لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَّرْتُ بَعْدِ إِمَانِكُمْ Yani, don't make an excuse now. You have already fallen into disbelief after you have been a believer. You have fallen into disbelief. By what? By making mockery of Allah, making a mockery of the ayats of Allah, the Messenger of Allah. Also from those things, other than just denial, that takes a person out of Islam, he said, ibadatuhu lil asnam, that a person worships idols, or those things that are not handmade idols, but that the people worship in the natural things in the creation, any things from the creation. That a person worships those things, like mountains or trees or stones or whatever. Or that a person supplicates to the dead, or that a person seeks help from the dead, or seeks any kind of assistance, yani, for their dire needs from the dead, and things that are like this. And this is because doing so nullifies the statement of La ilaha illallah. Because the statement La ilaha illallah points to the fact that worship is the right of Allah alone. So doing other than that nullifies the statement, and the person is not truthful in that statement. And also from those things, other than just denial that takes a person out of Islam, is supplicating to other than Allah. Al-istighatha, seeking help from other than Allah. Al-ruku wa sujood, yani bowing and prostrating to other than Allah. Sacrificing to other than Allah. Making vows to other than Allah, whatever is similar to this. So whoever offers any of these things to other than Allah, whether it is to the idols or to the things that people worship, yani in the nature, or the angels, or the jinn, or the people who are in the graves, or other than them, from created beings. Whoever offers any of these things to created beings, then this person has made shirk with Allah, and he has not realized, actualized the statement, La ilaha illallah. And these issues, وَهَذِي الْمَسَائِلُ كُلُّهَا تُخْرِجُهُ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ All of these things that he has mentioned, and besides them, so many, many other things takes a person out of Islam bi ijma' ahl al-ilm by the ijma' of the people of ijma' of the scholars, and these are not issues related to denial of the shahadatain. All of these things take a person out of Islam, and the evidences for them are well known in the book and the sunnah. And there are also other issues, many other issues other than what he has, yani, just listed as examples here. There are many other issues that cause a Muslim to go out of Islam. يُكَفِّرْ بِهَا الْمُسْلِمِ وَهِيَ لَا تُسَمَّ جُهُودًا And these are These things, these other things, many of them, they are things that are not what Imam al-Tahawi means here when he says nobody goes out of Islam except by juhud, except denying what caused them to enter Islam. He said there are lots of other things that cause a person to go out of Islam, and they are not coming under the subject of denial. The scholars have mentioned them in the chapters related to apostasy, so a person, whoever wills, can go back to them, and success is with Allah alone. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shadu la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And there's a little bit more commentary, but it will suffice with this. And whoever can go back, especially to the commentaries that are available to us, read carefully the commentary of Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan. Inshallah, there's a lot of benefit in there and in some other commentaries. Naam. Naam, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that we do it in accordance with the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Allah, with His generosity and His kindness, that He recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us as-thabat, and that He keep us firm and steadfast upon as-sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant quick, complete, and speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, and to fill their graves with light, and to make them spacious, and to grant them entry into His paradise, and to save them from the punishment of the hellfire and the punishment of the grave. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to the Muslims wherever they may be, in Palestine, in Gaza, in Yemen, in Sudan, in Syria, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in China, in Burma, India, wherever Muslims are, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant relief to the Muslims, and grant victory to the Muslims over the enemies of Islam and those who are torturing and persecuting and murdering innocent Muslims, men, women, or children. And indeed, help is sought from Allah alone. Amin ya Rabbal Alameen. Naam. And as the brother comes to call the adhan, I just want to remind myself and all of us that in the few minutes that are remaining, 9 minutes or whatever, utilize this time. We're in the masjid. Utilize this time for that which will benefit you with Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is not a time for socialization and entertainment or just, and we can do that anytime, day and night, on our own time. This is the time for worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please, let's try to remind each other to take advantage of the time. And also, before the class started, after the salah, it was very noisy in the masjid. Wallahi, this is not good. Especially if that noise came from us, the people who came here to learn. This is not like befitting of the people who came to the masjid to learn. And the people, even the people who came to worship, but especially the people who came to learn. Because some people came to worship, they don't know any better. But the people who came to learn are supposed to know better. The masjid is not the place for social interaction, entertainment, or recreation. It's not a place to be making a lot of noise. And our voices should be lowered in the masjid. And if I raise my voice because I have poor hearing and sometimes I might speak loud, you can just respectfully, politely, remind each other, please. Inshallah. Where's Juma? Come on, I'm sorry.